Good morning. It is 9:07 a.m. We are here today, October 12, 2023, in the OPA hearing room, suite 907 of the DNA building in Hagania, Guam, for the formal hearing of OPA PA 23-002, John Dell International Inc., DBA, JMI Edison versus the Guam International Airport Authority. Presiding over the hearing today is Hearing Officer Joseph B. McDonald. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Jared Hernandez and Tirza Bagana. Will appellant JMI please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Mr. Hearing Officer, Mr. Hernandez. I'm Joshua Walsh. Our firm, Rizana Walsh and Torres, represents the appellant JMI Edison. Seated at the table with me is Mr. Joe Rizana from our office. Our institutional representative, JMI's president, Mr. Ed Gilau, is on his way. He went to the wrong building. Good morning.
Thank you. Will purchasing agency GIA please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Mr. Hearing Officer. William Brennan from the area of the law firm on behalf of the Guam International Airport Authority. Present to my left is the Airport Services Manager, Gene Ariola, who will serve as the institutional representative. Also present is the Air Terminal Manager, one of our witnesses, Mr. Rodriguez. And I have information that the Executive Manager is in route and will be here shortly, Mr. Chuck.
Good morning.
Thank you. Will Interested Party Aircraft Services International, Inc., DBA Menzies Aviation, please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Mr. Hearing Officer. This is R. Marcial Johnson from Blair Sterling Johnson & Martinez. On behalf of Interested Party Aircraft Service International, Inc., DBA Menzies Aviation, and our institutional representative is Rodney Payette. He's the general manager of the company.
Thank you. We may proceed.
Good morning. All right. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for coming today. I'd like to just, first of all, just remind ourselves that the hearing is informal and it's designed to get at the facts. So I'm going to treat it that way, and I'm also going to treat it as well asking for your participation for anything you think that might be left on the table that I haven't attended to, either procedurally or just to make sure that the hearing is complete and the record is complete, okay? First of all, you guys, I have noticed, have always worked well together. So in preparation for today, are there any facts that are stipulated to as an initial matter?
No, Mr. Hearing Officer, no factual stipulations, but we do have an agreement on the submission of exhibits as evidence for your consideration. We're ready to hear that.
Okay, and so let me start with you, Mr. Walsh. How many witnesses do you expect to call during the course of the proceedings?
So that's a little bit tough to say right now because it depends on the answers we can get from the airport personnel and the order we call them. We're going to be calling, with agreement from the airport, the executive manager first. So if we can get the answers, or if the executive manager is knowledgeable about the items we're questioning, then we might just need one person from the airport. If the executive manager doesn't know a few things because he's directing us to his procurement specialist or somebody else, like Ms. Ariola, then we may have a few other airport witnesses, perhaps two or even three. But we anticipate just that. And then beyond the information from the airport, we've got a minimal series of questions for a representative from the CLB. So that's one. There are multiple people from the CLB here. In case the one person doesn't know, we might have to ask others. But if we can get by with just one person, that's perhaps just a minimum two witnesses, perhaps as much as four, depending if we need multiple people for the answers.
Okay, so you're looking at maybe anywhere from, I'd say, 5 to 9 or 10 witnesses?
No, like three.
One to four.
Okay.
Testimony time, I think, is. I don't think we're anticipating more than 2 hours of most testimony to be elicited.
Combined.
From us.
Okay.
Without cross.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Brennan, how many total witnesses do you expect to call on your direct examination?
Good morning. I know for direct, I think JMI is going to call the EM. I don't know that I'll need to direct or redirect in our case. We will ask questions of him. I anticipated calling Ms. Ariola, Mr. Regis, at least one member of the CLB representatives that are subpoenaed, and then Mr. Gilles, so four direct. When I ran through the outline, I don't anticipate going over an hour and a half for my total presentation without cross-examination.
Thank you.
With the agreement we had on the exhibits that I wanted to lay the foundation for every airport document, essentially.
Yeah. Again, we're relaxed, even the rules of evidence. I revisit that again. Mr. Johnson?
I think, depending on, since we'll be going third, it depends on how many witnesses they'll be calling as well. However, I think for the main points that we would like to make, I think we'll only have about 3 or 4 witnesses that we'll be calling.
And total time?
I can't see it going more than an hour, maybe half an hour, 45 minutes, not counting cross-examination.
And then we're going to go through the normal order, summation, opening, and then summation, that kind of stuff.
Appreciate it.
Okay. So I'm looking at, this will probably stretch into tomorrow then, I would imagine, just a little bit. Yeah. Okay. Now, I guess you guys have worked out an order?
Yes, I think as you have comment.
You go first. Well, I mean, you have your witness ordered together. Right. You know the methodology. You know the sequence in which you're going to call your witnesses, and it's your shot that goes first, right? So that's ready to go?
Yes.
Okay. And everybody's ready to go on their side as well?
I anticipate there'd be cross-examination of the witnesses after we put them on.
So I'll let that go as it naturally goes. Anything else we need to discuss? Housekeeping?
So just on the streamlining, Doc, I'll say this now just so I don't forget it later. We've got the procurement record presented. We've got the airport's excerpts from the procurement record as presented. And I think Mr. Johnson's firm submitted some exhibits and some documents along the way as well. Obviously, the rules of evidence are relaxed, but we're all in agreement that all of that should be submitted to you for your consideration. So we have no objection to.
So every piece of paper that's in the
for you to read,
here,
sir,
is already admitted into the record through agreement. Okay.
And just the second thing I'd ask at this point, just so I don't forget, is when we've done this before, we have submitted findings of fact and conclusions of law, sort of those summative brief to the hearing officer. I suggest doing that again in this matter at the end, but I haven't raised that with the other parties.
Yeah, no, I'm going to ask everybody to propose
findings of facts and conclusions.
Their own versions as well. And then, of course, I intend that this is going to be a little bit of a dialogue as well, because this is an important subject. So the parameters of what's going to transpire, I guess, will depend on how that discussion goes with you guys.
We, of course, are anticipating questions from you as well. I mean, if we don't clear things up. And then, if I may, because of the CLB individuals are here on a subpoena from my office, prepared and signed by the OPA, since they're probably not going to be needed for at least an hour and a half or so, may we let them leave this morning? I have contact information. We can call them with a half hour's notice or so to bring them back.
Yes, that's fine. That's fine.
Yes, that's fine.
You guys are going to basically manage your flow. Okay, and everybody's going to ask questions. Okay?
I just have one point, if I could, as well, just to alleviate the amount of, just to give the number of people in the room, if I ask my witnesses to wait upstairs in my office.
You guys, like I said, I'm more interested in just getting underway. You guys manage the witnesses. You call them up. Let's make sure we're moving expeditiously, and if there's any objections, to what's going on, just let me know. Okay?
I'll bother Nita and Marcus first, and then for some reason Nita and Marcus go in this way.
Jerry, work with they sent the link to the copy to council. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, I know, but better have my parachute. I'm sorry about that. I don't think it's, but I'll make sure that. I'll
I think he prefers just right upstairs.
Just for the record, say that I think the manager and Mr. Ewell are both present now.
Okay. Mr. Washer.
Short opening?
Yeah.
Good morning, Mr. Hearing Officer.
Good morning.
In the Guam Code annotated, gives us a pretty clear definition of an emergency. It says an emergency means a condition posing an imminent threat to public health, welfare, or safety, or the health and safety of the environment, which could not have been foreseen through the use of reasonable and prudent management procedures, and which cannot be addressed by other procurement methods of source selection. On July 2021, the airport issued an RFP seeking baggage conveyor services. That was protested. The airport correctly instituted a stay of that procurement. On October 27, 2021, the airport issued a certificate of emergency and a determination of need for emergency procurement. They cited the September 21, 2021 protest by JMI, the very first protest raised by JMI, as causing, and this is a quote from the airport, an immediate need to contract for the services to avoid interruption of its baggage conveyance systems. So a July 2021 RFP, a protest, and an October 2021 declaration from the airport saying we have an immediate need to contract for services. Those October 27, 2021 determinations were sent to Adaloop the same day. So they were prepared in the morning, sent to Adaloop the same day, where the governor signed at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, signed a single paragraph authorizing an emergency procurement, quote, determined necessary by the executive manager. So the airport says we have an emergency. Adaloop says, you said you have an emergency, so it's an emergency. And at 6 p.m. on October 27th, the same day, all in one day, the airport issued a notice of request for interest for the emergency procurement, asking for proposals 2 days after that. All done within a day. We have an emergency. We need proposals. On October 29th, the airport then issued a paper explaining that badges for airside work could take 2 weeks to get. So the airport said, look, we need people to work airside, you know, behind the gate there. That could take 2 weeks to get your things, your badges. So contractors who are bidding for this must have existing badges. Must have existing badges, like Menzies. On October 30, 2021, an emergency contract with Menzies was executed. That emergency contract was extended through to December 2021, and then, as you've seen from the record, a series of extensions by the airport followed. January 27, 2022, the airport regurgitates the emergency findings, again on February, again in March, April, June, July, August, September, October 25, 2022, and again and again and again for, by my count, as of today, 712 days. It has now been 2 years that the airport has been operating on an emergency procurement triggered by a realization of an immediate need to contract for the services to avoid interruption of its baggage conveyance systems. To be clear, JMI has not protested some de minimis failure in routing of the emergency procurement papers between Adaloop, the airport, or the legislature that the code calls for, or the chief procurement officer. They were not here because a piece of paper was missing. We're not protesting the existence, even in October of 2021, of an immediate need that needed to be addressed, and that perhaps even that immediate need could have been addressed through streamlined emergency procurement procedures. What JMI has protested, though, is the use of emergency procedures to circumvent other methods of procurement that could have been used in the ensuing 712 days. A lot has happened in 2 years. In fact, it appears now that Menzies has a contractor's license to do the work at the airport that the airport's asked them to do under the emergency procurement. And they did that following what appears to be the CLB and the AG both saying they needed that license. So a lot's happened. They got this license. Well, Menzies' 2023 license does not change the fact that they did not have the license in 2021 when they responded to the emergency procurement. The need for the license and the shape of the GIA procurement with regard to that license is before the Superior Court of Guam. That's a matter that we're dealing with in that first protest on, you know, did you need a license? Should have been in there? Were you responsive or not? And I think just streamlining things as of today, no one's arguing that Menzies does not have a license in hand today. For us today, the existence of the Menzies license does not change the fact, though, that the airport has been asleep at the procurement switch and has not been doing its job to assure, as the procurement code requires, that, and this is from the Guam Code annotated 5GC85215, to assure that to the extent practicable and except as otherwise allowed under this section, an emergency procurement shall be made and conducted with competition and utilize competitive procedures used in this chapter as is practicable under the circumstances. And again, circumstances might be different in October of 2021 as opposed to October of 2023. Guam law has no room for the creative interpretation of the procurement code to allow no competition during an emergency declaration that lasts for years. The dangerous effects of that were on full display in the recent years of the COVID pandemic, where federal funds were expended hand over fist under an emergency procurement. The OPA here, should be more judicious in allowing the expenditure of our own Guam funds under the control of one of our own Guam Crown Jewel agencies, the airport. Airport procurement needs to be better. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Brennan.
Thank you, Mr. Hearing Officer. I think in terms of opening what the airport will offer, the circumstances that existed in October of 2021, we will show at this hearing, remain in place today. The procurement stay was put in place on an RFP issued by the airport. The airport reviewed, as testimony will show, other methods of source selection under Guam law and what we could do in an efficient manner and with the competition practicable. Notwithstanding that there was an issue pending, we will concede that in October of 2021, there was a complaint lodged with the Contractors License Board related to the scope of services in the underlying procurement. There was an appeal to the OPA at the time the determination was made, but what JMI conveniently is leaving out is that the procurement stay formed the scope of the emergency. And testimony will show, which is why we have our operations manager here, that interruption to these services would be catastrophic to the airport and the greater community. The airport is one of the inlets for the flow of goods and persons to come into this island. Notwithstanding the circumstances we were faced with in 2021, I mean, just the fact that this inlet needs to work, it needs to stay open. And what JMI also ignores is that by using the emergency procurement, the only method of source selection that would have worked in this situation, it also gave the airport the flexibility to use 30 days at a time, as the regulations require, which was ignored by JMI, 30 days at a time, a determination of need that this can only go for 30 days at a time. What JMI is harping on is actually a 90-day public hearing requirement. For every 90-day period, at the 60th day, you must have a public hearing before you can extend beyond the 90th day. But all that notwithstanding, what the airport does by using the emergency procurement and acting within the confines, I think it's important that today they say they're not looking at de minimis failures or missing documents, because you'll find that the airport strictly complied with both 3113 of the regulations and 5215 of the procurement code. The documents needed for an extension are present, the governor's certification, the transmittal for the speaker, all of which were initially alleged to be missing in the agency level protest. And what we thought were a live issue today, based on their papers in this case, they're now conceding that there doesn't appear to be an issue that they can harp on with the procurement record, at least as to missing documents. But what the airport has done here is it preserved the status quo after the protest was lodged on the underlying RFP. It allowed the CLB, which is the position the airport has taken consistently through the underlying RFP and in this appeal, allowed the CLB to do its work. Once the CLB made its finding or took action, the airport feels it acted within the confines of the procurement law in addressing that action, as you'll see in the latter part of the procurement record from April of this year. All this to say, this case is going to be much about nothing, in our view. The one point that they want to attack, they've just conceded. Menzies now has a license. They won't be able to explain why they didn't protest in 2021. They won't be able to explain why they didn't protest in 2022. And they'll offer some, I'm sure, excuse for why they protested in March 2023. But as we will show, the airport, all through that time, was not hiding anything. We were publishing notices in the newspaper of how the airport was conducting its business related to baggage conveyance systems and why these systems are so important to remain in operation, to keep the airport in operation. At the conclusion of evidence, we think the OPA will agree with the airport, but the airport really had no other method of source selection. They're doing this in the most efficient manner that they can, given the tools available to the airport and the procurement code, and given the circumstances presented by this, these systems that are critical to airport operations. So with that, we look forward to putting on our witnesses today. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, Mr. Hearing Officer. With respect to the emergency procurement, we really don't have too much to say aside from the fact that we respectfully agree with what the airport's position is on this. The one thing that we will point out is that true to JMI's, I guess, approach that they've taken towards this procurement since the beginning, they provided a problem, but they've never proposed or suggested any solution to that problem. They said that the airport should have done something different other than offering emergency procurement. However, they've never suggested what the airport should have done instead. This is similar to the issue with the CLB, where the initial protest filed by Mr. Elao said that we needed a license, but they could never identify what license that was. And that didn't come up until about, I think it was a year or 2 years after that initial complaint had been made. And so while JMI is happy with raising all sorts of chaos when it comes to these procurement protests, they're never really clear on what the solution is. Same thing here with the emergency procurement. They've created the situation that created the emergency. They filed a protest. They appealed their denial here to the Superior Court. And that's what created the stay that's in place right now, which necessitated the emergency procurement. However, they provided no proposal or solution as to what the airport should have done instead of providing the emergency procurement in order to allow baggage handling to continue with the airport. My understanding coming in today was that we were primarily going to be putting out evidence with respect to why a CLB license was not required by Menzies, and we're still willing to do that. However, it appears that I think Mr. Walsh agreed that issue is before the Supreme Court of Guam, and that you will not be bringing up any evidence towards that today. And I'm not sure if that's clear. However, if they still intend to put on evidence showing that we need to have a CLB license, we're confident we have witnesses that will provide evidence to the contrary. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I think we're ready to go.
Thank you. We'll call our first witness, who will be John M. Canata.
Okay. Please, Mr. Canata.
Mr. Hearing Officer, may I approach you? We have our exhibit excerpts.
Okay. I think it's up there.
Just for the witness, but I noticed the hearing officer. We're missing one. My office is bringing them.
Just in case you refer to it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to use the
basic. I'm just going to use the basic.
They have it too.
Yeah,
we're just using your exhibit. So there's nothing. I mean, just easy.
Yeah.
If you want paper, I got it.
I think we're settled. We're settled. All right. Still on the record. Please swear to the witness.
Please raise your right hand and state your name.
I, John M. Canata.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Canata.
Good morning, sir.
All right.
I'll be doing the question.
Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Canata. My name is Joseph Rosano, and I represent representing JMI. Mr. Knappe, can you tell us your title at the airport?
Executive Manager.
And what is the job description of the Executive Manager?
Basically, is to run the whole operations of the Guam International Airport Authority.
Okay. So you're the boss?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How are you involved with procurement?
Basically, what happens with procurement is when a bid goes out or bids go out and stuff and it's finalized and stuff, my procurement staff, my administrative staff, will go through it, scrutinize it, and once it's finalized and decided, it comes to me for final signature.
Okay, so you sort of are the final review and you check all the, parameters of the RFP, make sure it's what the airport wants?
Yes.
Okay. And did you do that with respect to this particular RFP?
To my knowledge, yes.
And I guess when I'm talking about this RFP, just to be clear, we're going to talk about the emergency procurement will be the RFP for this.
Not the original, the emergency.
Correct.
Yes.
That's correct. Okay. And so you reviewed the emergency RFP, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I'll ask you, we're just going to use the airport's exhibits. I think the binder's in front of you, correct? And I'll ask if you can find, there should be at the bottom right-hand corner of each page, there should be a number. And the one I'm looking for is 00026. So it should be A.
Exhibit A.
Exhibits, yeah. You see that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And can you tell me what it is?
Basically, this is a written determination regarding the minimum requirement to perform work within the baggage conveyance system in this area. It's emergency procurement.
I'm sorry, sir.
Emergency procurement.
Okay. And there's a signature next to your name. Do you see that at the top?
Yes, sir.
And whose signature is that?
That's my signature.
Okay. And at the bottom of the page, just above the base stamp number, there's like a squiggly kind of signature maybe. Do you know what that is?
To the right?
Yeah, it's on the right-hand side above the 00026.
Right.
Right side of the page.
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell me what that is?
That's an initial.
And whose initial?
That's my ASM.
Okay. Who is that?
Miss Jane Ariella.
Okay. And does that signature have some meaning?
Yes. So when these documents come to my office, it means that this person has vetted and has looked at the documents and that it's should be recommended for approval.
Okay. So it's her recommendation for approval to you?
Yes, sir.
And then if you turn to the last page, 00029, I'll just have you confirm that that is your signature.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, in the document 0026, in the very first sentence, we're at the body of the document now, says the Antonio B. Wampat International Airport Authority, Guam, requires the services of a qualified firm and or individuals to manage, integrate, and provide infrastructure and support services. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
And was this letter written by you?
No, sir.
Okay. Who wrote the letter?
In this kind of setting, usually it goes through legal counsel for vetting.
Okay. So do you know who wrote the letter?
I would think that it's part of our legal that went through it. Exactly who wrote the letter, I don't have that knowledge.
Okay, when you say your legal, you mean the law firm of Ariola?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the lawyers wrote the letter? You think?
Yes.
Okay. So you didn't write this, but did you understand it when you executed it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So when you use the term qualified firm, what does the term qualified mean?
when I say qualified, the folks that have the capability of running the system.
Okay. And does that mean that they've met all the requirements of the RFP?
To my knowledge, it should meet the requirements where that they have access to the system, they have knowledge of running the system.
And that they comply with all the requirements of the RFP?
In most cases, yes.
In what cases would it be okay not to comply with the RFP?
Well, I would think that in most cases for any things that we're signing off, that yeah, the whoever we're giving the approval to proceed is in qualified to do the work that we're asking for.
Okay. So you would agree with me that qualified means can meet all the terms of the RFP?
In case, yes.
Okay, and then if you look at 00027, which should be the next page, what is this document?
Basically, this, from my understanding, is the determination of need of why we need to go through this emergency procurement.
Okay. And what was the determination of need stated?
Stated or what?
What does the document say is the determination?
Basically, it's giving us where we're at, what our situation is, what our findings are, and then why we need the, what is the reason why we need the emergency procurement.
And what was the reason?
Basically, because we don't have a contract in place because of the litigation that was going on, that we needed to get someone or a contract or a firm to continue the baggage conveyance system, so that we don't have to impair or we don't have to jeopardize the running of the airport.
Okay. And the contract, when was it going to end?
I think in October 31st of 2021 or 2020.
Okay. Can we just start for a second? I know this. This is just for fairness, and it's not to create a commotion. But if you're testifying, make sure it's your own testimony, and you're not taking any visual cues.
No.
Okay. From anybody else in the room. Okay.
I'm testifying to the best of my ability. Okay. And under my.
I just want to make sure that you know if you're taking any visual cues, that it's your testimony that's coming.
Oh, yes.
Were there visual cues?
Well, I noticed Ms. Ariola nodding her head at testimony, so I don't know what that means. I just want to make sure that he understands it's his testimony that needs to come out, and letting the parties know that this is going on.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Mr. Gnatta, we left off with, I think you were saying that maybe the contract was going to expire October 31st, 2021.
That's correct.
Okay. And in the determination of need, in the second to last paragraph, it says that the offeror, who I guess is JMI in this situation, is the last sentence of the second to last paragraph on page 00027. You see that?
Second, say that again.
Second to last paragraph, it starts with September 21, 2021, okay. And it's on page 00027.
Okay.
Okay, and the last sentence says, the offeror then appealed GIAA's decision to the Office of Public Accountability on October 8th, 2021. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And what did the procurement office do between October 9th and October 31st to prepare for an emergency contract to be procured?
Basically, we were looking at all our options, what we had based on the stay, You know, we were looking at, for example, all the different avenues that we can go through, whether how we would continue running the airport as is, so that we don't disrupt operations.
And what were the different avenues that were discussed?
First is to, of course, put out a emergency bid to find out who can do this, do the baggage handling system, and also look at other options. Let's say no one were to bid, how would we run this? And one of the options was we would have to probably take our own staff to run the baggage handling system. We don't know how long that was going to last.
Any other avenues that you pursued?
Not to my memory as far as what other options we were looking at.
Okay, so just to be clear then, the two things that were done between October 8th and the 31st was discuss putting out an emergency procurement, and then that if that failed, how could you run the conveyor system with your own staff?
Right.
Okay. And when you thought about running the conveyors, the baggage system with your own staff, was there a plan developed in the event that that was necessary?
Well, we looked at the different ways to do it, but in looking at the plan, we just didn't have enough manpower to run it 24/7. I mean, we can run it maybe in peak times, but to run it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we just didn't have the staffing capability. On an emergency or on a case by case, you know, where you know, on a short period of time, maybe we can, but not to run it consistently 24/7.
Do you have staff at the airport that would have the technical expertise to run that system?
I won't say technical expertise, but we have the possible capability to do it on a short-term basis. We do have folks.
Also, do you have staff that could maintain the system?
Like what I said earlier, you know, possibly a short interim probably could, but for a long duration, possibly not.
Okay. So when you say short term, can you define that for me?
Meaning if it's possibly less than a week that we can possibly keep it running, but we'll probably run out of sources or resources at that time.
Okay. And so just so I'm clear, the emergency is the fact that the protest was filed.
Yes, sir, because of litigation.
Are you familiar with a company called Constellation Services?
No, sir.
Do you know if they were a responsible or responsive bidder to the emergency protest?
I would object. The explanation, he just said he's not aware of it.
Okay, that's fine. Were you involved at all with the dissemination of the emergency protest?
Meaning?
Like, do you know who it went to? Like, when you decided that we're going to do this emergency protest and the
we didn't do the protest. So
he just said that to me. I'm in procurement. When you're putting together the emergency procurement, and it's all done, do you know who it went to?
As far as after we signed it, or?
No, like before.
Before vetting it or getting it through. So it goes through all our administrative staff. Our procurement section, of course, and then, of course, legal. We have to make sure that we dotted the I's and crossed the T's and made sure that what we were doing was within what was allowed in the procurement law.
I'm sorry, my question wasn't clear. after all that's done, and you've made all those determinations, do you know who the emergency procurement was provided to? What companies?
What? No, I'm not aware.
Okay.
No.
Do you even know how many?
No, sir.
All right, I'm going to ask you to turn to 00318.
318?
Yeah. It should be... Looks like it's E. Looks like it may be E.
318? Page 0318?
00318.
Okay.
And I think this document begins on 00314. So can you take a look at that? And do you recognize this document. Yes,
sir. These are the scope for the emergency procurement.
Okay. And on 00318, Roman numeral 3, it says minimum qualifications. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And explain to me what those are.
Well, the first bullet, have minimum must have extensive knowledge on the mechanical aspect of the baggage conveyance system. 5 years experience in maintenance and repairs of baggage conveyor system. And of course, the third bullet, must employ and demonstrate the capacity for individuals with the technical expertise and certifications necessary to carry out the operation.
Okay, and then there's one more qualification on 00319. Do you see that?
Must show evidence that it is licensed to conduct business on Guam.
Is that requirement of the emergency procurement different than the language of the original procurement?
In my opinion, when we say license, I don't know if it's licensed to, when we say license to do business on Guam, that's doing business at, but license to do certain things.
I'm also going to lodge an objection. Just as to vagueness, and then I don't know if it's fair for the witness to recall a prior term that hasn't been shown. So if they're asking, is it verbatim? That's where the vagueness comes in. I'm not understanding.
Right.
He said his opinion, so I'm just going to listen to what his opinion is.
Yeah.
I'll still lodge the objection, just for the record.
Go ahead.
Okay.
So, like in my opinion, right? What I'm saying is, I may be licensed. I might have a business license on Guam. To do business on Guam, but to do certain things. You might have to get certain other licenses of certifications, and to me, reading this is to do business on Guam.
Like a business license or any required license?
Just to conduct business on Guam.
So is that a business license?
Yes, sir.
Sorry about that.
If you could look at 329. And if you're there, I'll just ask you if you've ever seen this document before.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And what is it?
Basically, it's the fee that we will be paying for that term, for that from November 1st to November 30th.
Okay. And so this contract, just so the hearing officer is clear, is about $120,000 per month. Is that correct?
That's on a normal, month. However, at that time, if you remember back then, we were going through COVID. So the amount of passengers that was going through the airport was highly reduced.
Okay. So that's how you define reduced and normal, by the number of seats.
Yes, sir. It was before COVID. 119,000 was what we were paying. Because of COVID, with the reduced flight activity, with the amount of passengers going through the airport, that's what we reduced it to.
Okay. And when did the airport sort of resume normal operations again, where we had normal flight activity?
To this day, we're not at normal.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay. So then, to be clear for the hearing officer, the contract is really approximately $79,000 per month.
Yes, sir.
Does that fluctuate based on the number of passengers who land?
No, sir.
That's just
yes.
And how many passengers have to land to meet these qualifications?
As far as the normal or the
for both,
normal, I would think that you're looking at 1.6, 106,000 passengers per month, and with the 78,000, 79,000. The reduced rate was drastically, maybe about 40% of that.
So maybe about
40,000.
40,000. Well, that would be 60%, right?
Yeah.
So
what? Yeah, 40% of the
40% reduction, which would be like 60,000 passengers.
I would say 60% reduction to 40,000 passengers. Today we're averaging higher than that, but back then we're luckily if we're getting to that amount.
So I guess just so we understand, during the term of the emergency procurement, it's always been being paid on a reduced flight activity basis.
Yes, sir.
To this day.
To this day.
Okay, let's look at GIA's exhibits, exhibit F, as it and I guess starting with base stamp page 00048.
Yes, sir.
All right. Can you tell us what is this document?
This is a determination of need for an extension over an emergency procurement contract.
Okay, and what's the date?
June 24, 2022.
Okay. And you're familiar with this document?
Yes, sir.
And that's your signature on page 00050, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. And what's the determination of need expressed by this document in June of 2022?
It's consistent with all the other determination of need on a monthly basis that we have to continue on with the emergency procurement because the litigation was still in progress.
Okay. So then again, no change. It's the protest that is the emergency.
Yes, sir.
And between November 1st, 2021, and June 24th, 2022, what did your procurement office do to make sure that there was competition in bidding and that the procurement laws were followed?
Well, there are always, I know in every 90 days, right, we have to go through a hearing, and we also have to always put it out for competition out there, meaning putting it out that hey, we do have a emergency procurement out there. To my knowledge, we've published it out as far as letting folks know that there is a procurement bid out, emergency procurement that's out there.
Okay, I guess what I was trying to get at was, did the procurement office take a look at other avenues or other ways to procure the services or issue another RFP, whether that be on a regular RFP or an emergency basis? Was the procurement office doing anything other than preparing the determination of need for your review?
Not to my knowledge.
Would there be somebody better to ask that question?
Probably our ASM.
Okay. Are you familiar with, I guess, the process of protests?
Once the protest, there's a protest, it goes to the OPA. OPA, of course, addresses it, whether they're going to hear it or not.
Okay.
And then we go from there. We'll wait for the...
And then I think you understand that at some point, this original case was then the case that you're saying is the determination of need, right? That then eventually gets appealed to the Superior Court.
Yes, sir.
Is that your understanding?
That's my understanding.
And are you familiar with how long things take in the Superior Court?
Well, since I've been the executive manager, yes, we've got litigation that's been going over 10 years.
Yeah. So then you would understand that, I mean, I'm glad you said that because my next question was going to be, are you familiar with the Lotte versus DFS case?
Yeah.
So you're correct. I mean, these things can go on for a long period of time. So is it the airport's position that this determination of need will just continue throughout the course of a decade's worth of litigation?
It's always not it's not what we want, but because of the litigation, you know, that's what we're faced with, right?
So at some point, I guess, you know, taking DFS and Lotte as our model, there is a stay in that case or no stay?
As far as there's so many in that case.
You're right. We don't need to get into
yeah.
that. But anyway, I guess at some point, when you're involved in a decade of litigation, are you going to continue? Is it the airport's position that you would just continue every 30 days to have an extension of this contract based on the protest?
But in my position, what we do is we take, we look at all the options and we get our legal advice and we try and go with what our legal advice is given to us.
Okay, but you just told me you didn't look at any other options other than continuing these determinations of need based on the litigation.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so at what point, as the executive manager, would you instruct procurement to look at other avenues to
I would
competition for an $80,000 a month contract?
Right. So I would think I would wait for the outcome of what the Superior Court comes up with, get that decision in order, and follow what the directions would be.
Would you understand that regardless of the outcome, either party could appeal that to the Supreme Court?
Yes, sir. And it'll go on again.
And it'll go on again.
Yes, sir.
And is it your position that if it's appealed to the Supreme Court, that the determinations of need will just continue on?
You know, I haven't even gone through that. I haven't thought that process through. If it keeps going on and on and on, do we, at what point do we start this process or do another process?
I guess, thank you. And to be clear, then, I guess there has been no additional bid process or procurement discussed or received after October 21st, 2021 in this case. Is that correct?
Not to my knowledge, sir.
All right, and I guess not to belabor this, because I think you basically said it, but I was going to have you look at 00054, 00057, and 00061, and these are just additional determinations of need. One is August 24th, 2022, September 24th, 2022, and October 25th, 2022, and I guess those three documents are all determinations of need to extend the contract, and they essentially have the same reason, and that is the protest of JMI. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
What pages were those in?
54.
0054 through 0061.
057.
And,
061.
Still on F?
F?
Yeah, the exhibit F. GIA's exhibit F, which is what we're looking at right now.
What page number? Because I moved to those other ones. That
Okay. So let's go to 00039. And then again, not to belabor the point, this is just another determination of need. The extension of the emergency procurement contract in March of 2022. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And the same determination of the procurement process, correct?
Yes, sir.
And the date on that document is March 25th, 2022. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Are you familiar with an opinion from the Attorney General's office that came out with respect to Menzies licensing?
I heard about it.
Okay.
But
have you ever seen the document?
No, sir.
Okay. What did you hear about it?
This was close to when CLB did a order to Menzies.
Do you remember when that was?
No.
Okay, let's look at G. I think G starts with 00606.
So basically, this is just letting them know that they're selected to be doing the contract for the baggage conveyor system.
So just to clear that up, when you say they, you mean Menzies.
Menzies, yes.
And this is a series of letters from you to various individuals at Menzies. Whoever's in charge, I guess, at the time is the appropriate person to inform that they have, in fact, been selected for the extension of the contract. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And if you look at 00622, which is the last one, date on that letter is March 22nd, 2023. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So on that date, you transmitted this to Mr. Christopher Done, D-O-H-N-E, the commercial director of Menzies. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And you're telling them that they have been extended.
Yes, sir.
Right? Okay. And so by telling them they've been extended, you're also telling them that they are qualified under the emergency procurement. Is that correct?
I would not assume so.
Okay. Let's look at H. I guess I'll just ask if you've ever seen that document before.
Distinctly, yes.
Okay. And can you tell us what it is?
Basically, it's Menzies' response for interest into the baggage conveyance system.
And this is in response to the emergency procurement, correct?
Yes, sir.
Let's just take a quick look at 00585, still in Exhibit H. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. I want to look at the bottom. Under technicians, and it says, this is Menzies, TNA. They will be responsible for performing all repair, maintenance actions as directed by the lead technicians and supervisor. You see that?
Yes, sir.
And then on the first bullet point, it says, they will be responsible for the electrical, mechanical, preventative maintenance, lubrication, and repair of various equipment and components on the airport. you see that?
Yes, sir.
And then on 00583, there is a flow chart of the individuals who will be involved, their expertise and qualifications provided below. You see that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And that flow chart identifies Mr. Pyatt and a Mrs. Rages, and then other general people who are not named. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall if Menzies had a contractor's license prior to the original, prior to 5 years ago?
Don't recall.
Okay. How long have you been at the airport?
Since 2019,
April of 2019. April of 2019, okay. And has Menzies always been the baggage conveyance vendor?
To my knowledge, since I've been there, yes.
Correct. And it says Exhibit I at the bottom, but it's really long. Airports J is in the chart.
Okay.
It says I at the bottom. Just make sure on the calendar page.
Exhibit I.
Yeah, you see how it says that, but it's your J.
No, it's under I here.
Yeah.
Is it under I?
Yeah.
Maybe in this tab.
Sorry. In my binder, it's J. Okay, but that's fine. So it's Exhibit I. Have you ever seen that document?
No, sir.
Okay, let me ask you to look at 00790.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And that's a letter from you to me, correct?
Yes, sir.
And it's signed by you on 00791, correct?
Yes, sir.
And then it also has Miss Areola's initial for approval next to your name on the left-hand side of your signature block, correct?
Now that's our deputy executive manager.
Okay. And who is that?
Ricky. Dr. Ricky Hernandez.
Okay. Sorry, what was his title again?
Deputy Executive Manager.
Why does he initial this as opposed to Ms. Areola? Is that because she's not around, or
could
is it a different procedure?
It could be that she may not be around. She might be off island, or might not be in the office. But it does takes a step to get up to my level. So if I don't see his signature or her signature, then I need to make sure it goes back to be vetted.
Okay. And
or initials, I'm sorry, not signature, but initials.
Sure, I understand. Thank you. So on the first sentence of this letter, 00790, you say, the AB International Airport is in receipt of your letter, style is a procurement protest, and dated March 21st, 2023. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And did you ever get to see my letter of March 21st, 2023?
Probably, yes.
Okay. And my letter had the Attorney General's letter attached to it. Does that help refresh your recollection of whether you've seen that document or not?
Just faintly, yeah.
Okay. Does it reflect your recollection on when the airport might have received my letter?
I don't remember.
Okay. Do you think you the airport received my letter on or about March 21st, 2023?
Probably on that date or close to that date.
Okay, let's look at airports K as in Karen, 00802. I'll just ask if you've ever seen the document before.
No, sir.
It discusses a rate increase being requested by Menzies. Does that refresh your recollection, or do you know about a potential increase in rates that was being requested?
Usually, like that, on that kind of issue, they would vet it in the bottom, and they would discuss it in the bottom before it gets to me.
Okay. So do you recall there being a rate increase in March or April of 2023?
I don't recall.
Ultimately, if there was a rate increase, would it have been your signature that would have approved it?
Yes, sir.
Are rate increases allowed under the emergency procurement?
I'm pretty sure passenger load were to pick up, that would be identified. So let's say it's drastically climbing, then they would request because of the increased amount of work that comes in. That would be justified.
But I thought you told me earlier that it's never increased the load capacity based on passengers. Your testimony earlier was, to this day, you've never paid more than the
original. No, I know. I'm giving you the thing is, if we were to go up and there were requests for an increase, right, that then we would address it, right?
But there's never been an increase.
Not to my knowledge.
Of a rate increase never got to your level, who would I talk to about the facts and circumstances surrounding the request for the rate increase?
It usually goes to our air services manager.
So this aerial is the appropriate part?
Yes.
Now, have you ever personally, other than the letters that you sent, ever personally engaged with anybody at Menzies about their work?
No, sir.
Do you have a question?
About, what I mean, their work? Because when we say their work, when we, for example, after Typhoon Malwar, you know, we got all the stakeholders in. And what is our way ahead to get the airport open? That's the extent.
Sure. And I mean, you have a point of contact who you work with.
I go through for Menzies or for operations wise. I go through my air terminal manager, Mr. Juan Regis.
Okay.
And he's my PLC.
So if you need to liaise with Menzies, you do that through Mr. Regis.
That's right, sir.
Okay. You don't have a high level point of contact.
No, sir. I don't.
Executive
I don't.
Manager to Ireland or something.
No, sir.
Just to wrap this up, so you would agree with me on the basic concept that no competition or less competition in the bidding process means Guam pays more, correct?
That could be true. If there's only one person or one company that's bidding, then we're stuck with what we get. The more people that compete draws competition, where hopefully at the end of the day the agency gets to capitalize on that, because they'll draw the cost down. The only one that they can do it at whatever cost they want.
Do you know how many bidders there were for the emergency procurement?
I think one, but there could be a possibility that there could be two at any given time. I don't know.
Okay. And then just, this is really, honestly, my last few questions. In the opening statement of your counsel, which I think you were here for, he said that the testimony is going to discuss other methods of source selection that were, I guess, reviewed or conducted by procurement, and your testimony was it was the emergency procurement and then possibly using your own staff to run the conveyor system.
That was the worst case scenario.
Okay. Were there other methods that were discussed?
To my knowledge, not that I know.
I have no further questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Brennan? Thank you. May I just ask if the executive manager needs a break? Or
yeah, we can take a quick break.
5 minutes.
I'm okay. I'm okay.
Okay. So we're going to keep going?
Sure. Okay. So thank you, Mr. Executive Manager. At times, I'm going to call you Mr. EM, because that's how I've heard you. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Just for the record, that's how I refer to the executive manager. But Mr. EM, I just want to ask you a couple broad questions, just based on the questioning from JMI's counsel. The first is, you've been at the airport since 2019, but prior to that, did you have I know you had other roles in public service, correct?
Yes, sir. I've been the command chief, master sergeant for the Guam Air National Guard.
And you're being modest, but you're also a senator.
Yes, sir.
Okay. But in your
also customs director.
In your role as, command sergeant?
Command chief, master sergeant. So it's the highest enlisted rank in the Air Force.
That's what I was going to get to. Did you get training and experience in running organizations?
Yes, sir.
And using, you know, different strategies to manage people under you in those situations?
Yes, sir.
And do you employ those types of strategies and training at the airport in your capacity as EM?
I would think that, yes, that based on all my experiences in my career, that I take that experiences and apply it to the airport.
Yeah, so when GMI's counsel asks you that, you know, there is procurement that reports to you, but in fact there are several other divisions as well.
Yes, numerous.
And each has its own separate manager that operates that component of the airport?
Yes, sir.
And do you trust and delegate functions to managers to run the division and make recommendations to you?
My management style is I empower all these division heads to run their divisions and empower them to make decisions. And, of course, once that's done, it comes up to my level four.
That was actually going to be my next question. When you say come up to your level, so things that happen at the airport, you're not necessarily involved in every single decision or every single discussion, with, for example, related to the emergency procurement.
That's correct.
In fact, at the emergency procurement level in 2021, there was the airport services manager below you who runs procurement and other divisions.
That's right.
And at the time, the airport also had, I think the title was supply management administrator.
That's correct.
And that position is currently vacant.
Currently vacant.
But at the time, you had two levels of, I would say, executive manager and then a mid-level manager before you even got to the procurement personnel.
That's correct, sir.
So when information comes to you in that funnel, at times it can be, you wouldn't be aware of every single...
dealings.
When it gets to your level, it's in the form of usually a recommendation?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So is it possible that there could have been discussions about what Mr. Rosano was asking about? Let's start first with research into other methods of source selection that by the time it made it to your level, that might not have been something you're involved in.
Yes, sir.
How about with regard to a price change that was agreed on in a contract or was according to a contract? Would that be something that has to come up to your level if there's no change order?
No. It'll stay down at that level. The only thing that comes up to me is when it's finalized.
Okay, and finalized meaning if there is something for you to sign?
That's right.
But in your capacity, you recognize you are the head of a purchasing agency, the autonomous Guam International Airport Authority?
Yes, sir.
And, you, for example, you've received training on what that means and what your signature means on certain documents?
Yes, sir.
So you recognize that while you accept recommendations as part of your leadership style, the buck does stop with you?
Yes, sir.
And that's why you're here today answering questions?
Yes, sir.
Okay, perfect. Since all the documents are in evidence, I'm actually going to ask you questions on the documents. If you're unaware, just let me know and I'll pull up the document, but I'm trying to streamline it. So you recall getting a question about the certificate of emergency and determination of need for the emergency procurement in October 2021?
Yes, sir.
Were you just a rubber stamp on those documents that you just signed whatever was put in front of you?
No. So usually, like I said, it gets vetted, and if there's any questions that I have, then I would put it up at that time.
And in fact, in your management style, can you represent to the hearing officer that you have taken your managers to task if they have recommendations you didn't necessarily agree with in the past?
Oh, yeah. There's lots of times that things come up to my desk for signature, and it gets turned away until such time that those questions that I have been addressed.
In fact, when Jim Mice Council asked you about the governor's approval, I think the representation made was you took it to them in the morning, the governor signed it that afternoon. Was it that simple?
No. So we would we took it to the governor's office. We had to explain to the governor exactly what situations we're in. And, of course, her legal team was there. We didn't get the signature right away. They had to make sure that they vetted it through their legal system.
So as far as you know, after you left the meeting, you presented to the governor, I guess in a way, your recommendation
right.
to the governor. You left without knowing that it would be approved or not.
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay. And it happened that they did, in fact, approve it, and you received the document.
I think that afternoon.
Okay. And there is a transmittal in the file that you received from the governor's office.
Yes,
the signed document. Did you also, are you aware of whether... the certificate of emergency was transmitted to the legislature?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and that's also in the record as far as you know?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, Jim Wise Council also questioned you a bit about the scope of emergency, and you referred to it as the emergency is due to the litigation. Is that a correct and accurate representation?
Yes, sir.
Can I just ask you, how do you understand the emergency you determine necessitating an emergency procurement?
Well, from my standpoint, if we didn't do the emergency procurement, the airport could have come to a standstill. There's no way that the passengers can be coming in, taken to TSA for inspection, and then taken to the aircraft or be given out to the peers that goes to the aircraft. So
there was a question JMI's council asked you where I believe. Council said, from October 9th through October 27th, all the airport did was create that determination. I mean, do you recall that? It was very early on in the testimony.
Yes, sir.
But is that true? I mean, given the critical nature of these systems, was that really all that was done in that period?
The team, the folks below us, were going through all the different facets or our options, I guess, or what are we going to do, right? And so based on that, came up with a recommendation to come up to me.
So when JMI's counsel said that, you know, all that you did was determination, that was what you referred to earlier as the final product that, or final recommendation that came to you.
Yes, sir.
But you were aware, in fact, that your procurement team in particular was looking at options.
Yes, sir.
And you testified that without the supply management administrator here, the person that would testify best to what was occurring would be the ASAP.
Yes, sir.
And just for the
record. And the only reason why is because he's no longer there. It's vacant, and so she would.
And when I say ASM, just for the record, that's the Airport Services Manager, Ms. Jean Ariel.
Yes.
Now, you got into it a little bit, but all of the determinations of need for extension of emergency procurement, you recall those documents?
Yes, sir.
I believe Mr. Rizzano questioned you about them.
For all those different dates, yeah.
Okay, and then there was also a separate document, a notice of extension to Menzies?
Yes, sir.
Okay, why were you doing, as you understand it, those determinations of need to extend the emergency procurement?
That's based on the procurement law. We have to do that every 30 days.
That's correct. And isn't it, in fact, that is what the airport did in compliance with the law? Every 30 days you were filling out those documents?
Yes, sir. And in addition to every 90 days we have to do a public hearing.
And correct. And these, so let's start with the determinations of need and the extensions. Again, these came to you on recommendation of the staff below, correct?
Yes, sir.
And it was put in front of you that they recommend that you take this course of action.
Yes, sir.
Okay. With regard to the public hearing, I mean, let me just ask you, there are references to it in the record, but was the airport just, was it just you sitting alone in your office at convening a public hearing?
No, sir. It was in the conference room. And we set it up as we were going to have a packed house. But when we did conduct the public hearing, it's just myself and the staff that were.
And did the airport, in fact, live stream these public hearings on
yes,
the
sir.
Website?
Yes, sir.
And when you said that you were publishing notice of the emergency procurement, are you referring to the public notices in the newspaper for these public hearings?
Yes, sir. And media.
So the airport was putting notices in the media?
Yes, sir.
In fact, there was one, the copies of the notices are
yes.
in the procurement.
Right.
Correct? And again, in all the public hearings that have been conducted, it was either you present or your designee if you were off island.
That's correct.
Okay. For all the public hearings you attended, has there ever been public comment related to the emergency procurement extension?
No, sir.
Okay. But isn't it true that the airport made clear at each of these public hearings no extension was decided, they had to take public comment on it first?
Yes, sir.
And is that, as far as you're aware, another requirement of the procurement law?
Yes, sir.
I just want to ask you a little bit about, Mr. Rizzano asked you about the AG's opinion that was attached to his letter of March 21st, 2023.
Yes, sir.
Did you receive that letter from the AG's office?
No, he's saying that it came with his attachment. And, you know, like I said, I go through so many documents per day and you know, I could have saw it, but I don't remember the attachment.
But as far as you know, I just want to make clear, you've never received any formal correspondence from the AG's office?
Not at all.
In fact, if you were to turn to that exhibit, and I'll just represent to you, that AG's opinion was addressed to...
CLB.
Mr. Ciriaco Sanchez?
Yes.
Chuck Sanchez?
From looking at what... when I was looking at it here, it was addressed to CLB.
Okay. And has the airport, as far as you know, related to the emergency procurement, ever received correspondence directly from the CLB or the Office of the Attorney General?
Not to my knowledge.
To
clarify that, right, anything from the CLB, I think we've got memos from CLB saying, hey, there's a hearing or what, but not as far as decision and order, I've never received a decision and order.
From the CLB?
That's right.
As far as you know. Okay. Similarly, when you said that, you know, I think your testimony was a lot of documents. It's been 2 years since this emergency procurement was initiated.
Yes.
A lot has happened at the airport.
Yes.
Take a Malwar, other procurements.
Other procurements, COVID.
Is it fair for me to say you're not familiar with every single document in this procurement file?
Not every single document.
And so if your testimony did differ a little bit from something that may be in this record, would you trust the record or would you trust your memory of it today?
Both.
Okay. So essentially you're doing your best to testify to the best of your recollection.
Yes.
Now, so the one alternative to the emergency procurement you were able to recall was the running the baggage conveyor system with GIA in-house.
Right.
But to be clear, you put these services out, is it for that reason you're testifying? Like, why do you bid out or put a request for proposals to operate these systems if the airport has some capacity?
So we put it out because we don't have the full capacity to run these systems, so we contract it out.
Yes.
But on a emergency where that, you know, maybe a day or two or no more than a week, like, for example, different circumstances that we may be able to run it temporarily.
But I just want to be clear. During that temporary running, you would be bringing resources from other divisions?
That's correct.
And they would be taken away from other duties?
That's correct.
So it's not that the airport just has people standing by
no.
in the baggage system?
No. We would be taking police officers, firefighters, maintenance workers, admin people to combine all to do exactly that.
And that would affect other areas of airport?
That's correct.
The final question, the area I want to talk to you about is, you recall you looked at Menzies' proposal about midway through your testimony?
Yes, sir.
But earlier in your testimony, Mr. Rosano asked you questions about what it means to be qualified under the procurement. Do you recall that?
Yes, sir.
As far as you know, is it the airport that makes the determination of what licenses are required for work done at the airport?
As far as licenses, all I know is as far as licenses is to get business license, right? To run on Guam, right? As far as the determination of what licenses is needed to run certain things, I don't know that.
And since 2019, is there any other system like the baggage conveyance system in Guam?
We're the only airport on Guam. I know there's Anderson Air Force Base, but their system is not the same as the way our airport is.
I think it's been described as papers as a unique and one-of-a-kind system.
One-of-a-kind. In the region.
In the region.
Yes.
Mr. Yim, thank you for your time. I know you're very busy. I don't want to take up any more. That's all the questions I have.
Yes, sir.
I just
have a few questions. Thank you. I just have a few questions. During your questioning by the counsel for the airport, you mentioned that there were public hearings that were held with each extension?
Not each extension, every 90 days. Yes.
So every 90 days there was a public hearing that was held?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did JMI ever show up for any of those public hearings?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, so did anybody from JMI ever show up and suggest that something else should have been done aside from an emergency procurement?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. These public hearings that were held every 90 days, were notifications made in the media?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And they were made available online as well?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did JMI ever submit any bids for these emergency procurements?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Has JMI ever suggested what other options should be available, or should have been done by the airport instead of the emergency procurement, to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. No further questions.
Okay. Any redirect?
Yes, Your Honor. Mr. Canada, you had said that you might have gotten some memos and stuff from the CLB. Do you recall CLB asking to come to the airport to do an investigation on the conveyor?
I was going to go back to that. It was not a memo, but it was an email from Chuck saying, hey, we need to we need to make arrangements. Our investigator needs to come up and do their assessment and stuff, and I made it available for them.
When you say Chuck, is that Sirianni?
Yes.
And did you know the nature of the investigation?
I didn't go into it. I didn't want to try and put some kind of word to it, where, you know, maybe do some influence to it or anything. I didn't want to do any kind of that in that nature. So just made sure that they were able to have access to the areas that they want to, and let them do their investigation.
Did anybody from the airport go along during the investigation for security purposes or whatnot?
Yes, they had to escort the individuals, and that was only for those purposes, because that's a secure sterile area. So for purposes of being in a sterile area, it was possibly our airport police that...
Anybody from your executive management team?
Not to my knowledge.
Were you provided a report from anybody about the investigation?
No, sir.
From the airport specifically?
No, sir.
Did it concern you that another government agency was investigating one of your vendors?
No, because that was through litigation, and we had to go through a process. Matter of fact, we wanted to get some kind of feedback from COB on the way forward, how we're going to address this.
Okay. And that's because you wanted to get a determination from COB whether or not Menzies needed a license. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, in 2021, in October, when you issued out the emergency procurement, did you know that you were going to need baggage conveyor services in October 2022?
No, sir. I was hoping that the litigation would have been addressed as quick as possible, so we know what direction to go.
I guess my question was more broad. As you sit as the executive manager of the airport, barring, you know, Chinese nuclear attack on us tomorrow, do you believe we're going to need baggage conveyor services next month?
I believe so.
Okay. Do you think a year from now Guam's going to need baggage conveyor services?
From here on out.
From
yes.
here on out.
Yes, sir.
Until the day you and I both pass.
That's correct,
correct
sir. Okay. As long as there's a civilian airport up there with flights coming in and out, they would need a... matter of fact, the baggage conveyor system possibly needs to be upgraded or updated, because, you know, new technology comes in, so I would think that there's new technology that's going to come into play.
We eagerly await that procurement.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I have no further questions.
Three crosses, anyone? No? Okay. I'm going to have a few questions.
Yes, sir.
And I might slip into calling you JQ, if that's okay.
Not a problem.
So, I guess first I want to just understand the structure of the airport. You're, of course, you're the EM, but there's still a board, right?
Yes, sir.
Is the board involved in the procurement at all?
Only at the end when a contract or a bid has been selected and or has been finalized, and the board will approve it.
Okay. So make it an official act of the airport?
Yes, sir.
Like at that level?
Yes,
but
sir.
But until then, sort of the day-to-day stuff is your stuff?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, refreshing to hear. I didn't realize that you were chief, master sergeant?
Command chief.
Command chief.
Yes, there, you have chief, master sergeants, but the command chief is kind of like the chief of all the chiefs and enlisted.
Okay. Must be one hell of a barbecue.
Oh, yes.
I know Army guys, they're very familiar with different structures, organizational structures, how to make and fold and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, those signatures, that means, and those initials on those documents, that means that they're vouching for that document, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so, going, for instance, to 26, which was A, Had you ever done an emergency procurement before this?
No.
Okay. So when this showed up, did it show up like this, or did somebody start to brief you, say we need to kind of do it this way?
Right. So when that showed up, when all this was going, when the protests was made, then, of course, the question was, what ifs and stuff. And if we didn't get a resolution by a certain time, then this is what we're faced with.
Okay. So I guess I'll take a step back, and I'm going to go back into the document. Given your experience in all these different organizations, airport is basically the model is to outsource?
In most cases, to contract out.
Okay.
In most cases.
Are there performance metrics?
Some, yes, and some no. For example, let's say our fire trucks and stuff. Yeah, we got to make sure that we're in compliance with FAA rules and regulations. So when we go out to make sure that we do work on fire trucks, that they follow exactly what the guidelines.
Okay, so I think we're talking about two different things.
Yes.
So there's core function, I guess, at the airport where that's actually airport personnel. That
right.
would be basically the police,
fire, properties and facilities.
Okay.
Operations. You got engineering. We got, of course, administration. We got procurement. We got MIS, which is the IT folks.
Okay.
And stuff.
Okay, and then so outsourced is the baggage claim. What else?
Baggage claim. You got contracting with the cleaners, cleaning the facilities, the grass cutting, those kind of things.
Okay, so is the baggage claim outsourcing? You have a very experienced consultant. Is that the model that's in most airports? Is to outsource this?
Yes, sir.
So that would mean there's a lot of competition for this type of service.
We would hope so, but because competition brings good pricing, right? But remember the tyranny of distance where we're at today is
yeah.
might be limited as far as people that are bidding.
Okay. So. I guess the next area I'll hit in is when I'll do it this way. Every year, when the UOPA shows up, right? There's an audit that gets taken, right? Or every couple of years.
Every year.
Every year.
Yes, sir.
For you guys.
Okay. Yes, sir.
And so, in conducting that audit, your management. You've got to answer the management letters. You've got to do all of those things.
Yes, sir.
Right? So those letters, those audits, they also include something called a legal contingency letter. Are you familiar with that?
Not familiar. Okay.
You ever ask the lawyers to sign a letter saying that, you know, these are legal contingencies or there's nothing to report?
Well, legal is always involved with what we do.
Okay. But you're not really familiar with this letter.
That's right.
Okay. When this thing was this emergency procurement was done, would you say that there was a likelihood that it would be extended and continue to be extended?
Just based on the litigation, there was always that likelihood. However, we're always optimistic that it'll be resolved soon, but it's been that long. It's been 2 years since litigation has started on this.
Would you say that the longer it goes, it becomes more probable that it'll be extended over and over again?
Until we get such direction or guidance and where to go, yes, sir.
Do you know whether are there any performance metrics for the baggage handling?
Not to my knowledge, sir.
Is the system actually belong to the government, or does it belong to the vendor?
I think it's, it belongs to the government, but run by a vendor or
okay.
a contract.
And you said it's one of a kind?
Here on Guam. Because we're the only commercial airport here on the island.
Okay, but in the region?
Region, like when I say region, I'm talking about CNMI, Palau, Tinian, FSM. Those, that's when I say region in our area of responsibility.
What's the brand name, do you know?
For the manufacturer, I think, is Siemens.
Siemens.
Right.
So it's anybody who has Siemens knowledge could actually run this thing?
Possibly.
Okay.
Yes.
Is it like a Siemens thing, or is it like a Frankenstein?
I don't know what you're saying.
Well,
Siemens
is it a Siemens here, a little bit of something else here, that kind of thing?
I wouldn't know how to answer that. I would think Siemens is a main manufacturer, but I don't know if it's a Siemens product and a different motor to run that product or what. So it could be a combination of different manufacturers into one, but Siemens, the old
Siemens is the main overall.
That's right.
Producer of this product.
Right. And they're not only in this airport, but they're in other airports around the world.
Who would know more about how the audit is actually responded to?
As far as the audit?
Yeah, like the legal, because this legal contingency letter, everybody who's been a lawyer for
right.
an agency has to, or a corporation has to sign these letters. So who would know this?
I would think either our ASM or our comptroller, or our acting comptroller.
Is the ASM or the acting controller involved in the procurement?
The ASM is involved in the procurement because everything runs up through her channels, her organization, her structure. In procurement.
In procurement, everything
yes.
runs up through her structure and procurement.
Right, her organization.
And also as for the audit?
The audit, no, because it goes through the comptroller.
It'll go through the comptroller.
Yes.
Okay.
We have an acting comptroller right now, so we have a new comptroller coming in soon.
Okay. Do you know if this emergency procurement went through a 5150 review by an attorney?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with 5150, so...
Okay, 5150 is that somebody who's designated by the Attorney General has to review all procurements in excess of $500,000.
Yes. So it's a SAG?
Yeah.
Yes. So in my dealings with SAG, all our SAGs, all our issues that concern the SAG had to go through our legal. But then, of course, our SAG was taken away when the new Attorney General started.
Okay, but back in October
back then,
2021,
yes, it went through our SAG.
It went through the SAG. So this has a 5150 sign-off, this emergency procurement?
I wouldn't think so, yes. I'm confident that it went through our legal.
Okay. Do you know it specifically says I'm signing off as the 5150 attorney?
I'm not totally sure, but I think so.
Okay. And who was counsel back then?
The Ariella law firm.
Okay. Just make sure. I know you're busy and won't have to ask you to come back. I guess Mr. Rosano tried to, and maybe he understood it, but I didn't understand your answer, and I'm referring back to 00319 and 318, which is the minimum qualifications. And the last bullet point was, must show evidence that is licensed to conduct business on Guam.
Right.
Now, in your mind, of course, there's different types of business licenses depending on what you do, but this is not, or it is, including the contractor's license.
My thing, when I was looking at it, I was just doing business on Guam. I wasn't thinking about contractors.
You're not thinking license. About specialty license.
That's right.
Or contractor's license or anything like that.
That's right.
Cases in procurement litigation or protests does the airport have going on currently?
I know of our duty free low take thing and this.
And this. And just going back real quick to the original October determination, did you have the benefit of any memorandums on how the emergency actually works or anything like that? Not from lawyers, but from anybody else.
Not memorandums, just for discussion.
For discussion,
yes.
So I'm looking at the definition of I'm looking at procurement law section 5030X definitions. Emergency means a condition posing an imminent threat to public health, welfare, or safety, or health and safety of the environment, which could not have been foreseen through the use of reasonable and prudent management procedures, and which could not be addressed by other procurement methods of source selection. Okay, so loaded, right?
Right.
Imminent threat to public health, welfare, or safety, or the health and safety of the environment. So what exactly is the threat to public health, welfare, or safety, or health and safety of the environment? What is that? What is that threat?
It's pretty loaded, but as far as baggage is concerned, let's say we were to shut down our airport, right? Possibly someone that needs medical attention off island or what, then because of the airport shutting down, that person cannot be medevaced out or so forth. But just things like that. I mean, just to not have the ability to move baggages for a plane to take off or arrive. Causes that safety issue for the airport to run safely. So.
Public health, welfare, or safety. So you're saying that if the baggage claim goes down, airport shutting down.
That's right, sir.
And if the airport shuts down, then at least with respect to passenger traffic, that's not going to be service.
That's right.
So that was true, right, in October of 2021?
Yes, sir. That's what we were dealing with.
And because of the litigation, the airport's position is that it's still true today.
Yes, sir.
Now, the second part of it says, which could not have been foreseen through the use of reasonable and prudent management procedures. I think back in October, it was foreseen. It was not foreseen.
Right.
Right? But as you said, you've got DFS litigation. That's several years long. Mm-hmm. So once you saw the litigation track, you still think that it's not foreseen that this condition could continue?
Because of the litigation, we don't know, how they're going what decision and order they're going to give us, right? Whether we were right or we were wrong, or what do we need to do to move forward, right? Mm-hmm.
Anybody else have any other questions based off of what I just asked?
Just one question, based on what you asked. Sorry to go out of turn. I didn't.
No, that's fine. Good. As long as I get to have a turn, that's fine. You can go first.
Yeah. Mr. Yu, I just wanted to confirm, though, in terms of, from an operational perspective, there were some questions there about the critical nature of these services. Is the ATM, Mr. Juan Regis, he's a key operational player at the airport?
Yes, sir.
And I apologize, I know he's under you, but would you say he's more familiar with the operations side, worked in the industry all his life?
He's a subject matter expert.
And do you think he could offer some additional testimony as to the critical nature of these services and what would be the result of the baggage conveyance system shutting down that could shed light and answer the hearing officer's questions a little bit more fully?
I think it would give you a more detailed answer.
Thank you, Mr. Hearing Officer, for the questions based on what you asked.
Mr. Rizal.
Thank you. Mr. Kanata, do you know who installed the baggage conveyor system at the airport?
I was not employed at the airport at that time.
Have you ever been told that it was JMI?
I saw on some documents and in talking to Siemens at conferences that JMI was their subcontractor.
So as you sit here today, you understand that the local contractor who installed the baggage system was JMI, is that correct?
That's to my knowledge.
Has the baggage conveyor system, to your knowledge, ever gone down or broken before?
Time to time. It has its, every equipment has their maintenance that they have to do, or things go down for as an issue. Power fluctuations can burn electronics, right? Or they need to change oil or grease up sprockets or what. But at time, yes.
And do you close the airport when that happens?
No, sir. And that's why we say temporarily we can do things, but not for a long period of time.
Mr. Dawson?
No questions.
All right. Thank you, JQ.
Thank you, sir.
Maybe take a short break.
Yeah, we'll take a short break.
We're off the record at 11:07 a.m. We're back on the record at 11:17 a.m.
Okay.
Thank you. John Dell, DBA JMI, will call Gene Ariel.
Please raise your right hand and state your name. Gene Ariola, do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Ariola. My name is Joseph Rosano, and I represent JMI. Ms. Ariola, what is your title at the airport?
I'm the airport services manager.
Okay, and what are your job responsibilities?
I oversee the administration division, which is one of the divisions that have a direct report to the EM.
Okay, and is part of your administration division also contain procurement?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. And how are you involved with procurement at the airport?
I'm involved with the planning component to ensure that the necessary resources, supplies, and services are available to support airport operations.
Okay. And were you involved with the emergency procurement that we're discussing today?
To a certain extent, yes.
Okay. To what extent?
In determining what available options there are to address the need based on the procurement stay, based on the expiring contract that was before the airport.
Okay. And do you have like a team that you get together to do this planning component, or is it just you?
We do have a team.
Okay, who's on the team?
The team would be whoever the SME is for that particular division. In this case, it would be operations, ATM, PNET, and then also our procurement team. Sorry.
You're going to have to explain to me all those acronyms that you just said. So SMF, I guess?
Properties and Facilities.
Properties and Facilities, okay.
The airport terminal manager who oversees operations.
Okay. Airport manager, okay.
And then the procurement team, which is under my purview.
All right. Now, the Properties and Facilities manager, who is that person?
That would be Ken McDonald.
Mm-hmm. And the airport manager at the time?
At the time, I'm sorry.
October 21, 2021.
I believe it's Ken McDonald's at that time.
Oh, so I heard you say properties and facilities and then airport manager. Are those the same thing?
Oh, operations is a different division, yes.
Operations. Were they involved with the team?
Yes.
All right. Who was the operations manager?
The operations manager is Ray Continuza, but the person that I actually conferred with is the air terminal manager who oversees that division.
Okay, air terminal manager. Who's that?
That would be Juan Regis.
Okay, and then you said the procurement team.
Mm-hmm.
Who's on the team procurement?
In this specific case, it was Henry Cruz. He was the supply management administrator.
Anyone else?
And then there's one person, Janelle.
Menno.
She's a buyer.
Okay. So the team assembled to do the planning component were yourself, Mr. Ken McDonald, Mr. Juan Regis, Mr. Henry Cruz, and Ms. Janelle Menno. Is that correct?
Correct.
And what did you discuss with respect to the emergency in October 2020?
At the time, I recall we were discussing potential options and approaches to see how we can continue the services. So as the EM mentioned earlier, there was a discussion about potentially having in-house, but we don't have the capacity to perform that function, especially on a long-term basis, which is what prompted us to issue it in the first place. Then we also explored various methods of procurement, whether it be invitation for bid, sole source, emergency procurement. We just went through that whole list. And in the end, we felt that the emergency procurement was the most appropriate to be able to meet the needs of the airport.
Okay. Now, I know that procurement record is very large, but could you point me to anything in the procurement record that reflects that you went through these other various options? Is there anything in there to your knowledge that would show that other methods of procurement were considered?
I'm not sure if it's in this record, but I know that we actually went through that exercise and had those discussions.
And during those meetings, I'll represent to you that it's not in the record.
Okay.
If you want to contradict me, that's fine. During those meetings, were any minutes taken?
I don't recall.
Any notes?
I took notes on my own. Yeah.
Is there any reason why your notes will not be part of the procurement record?
No.
As you're going through these various methods, as the law requires, you didn't think that it was a good idea to document that you were complying with the law?
Can you repeat the question?
Sure. So I think when the OPA was questioning, he was sort of asking about, you know, is this foreseeable? Are there other methods of procurement that could be used? And he's quoting the procurement law. Do you recall the testimony?
Correct.
Okay. And don't you think it would have been a good idea for the procurement record to contain the evidence of your planning committee complying with that law?
So I guess as far as we're concerned, the determination of need that's contained in there meets the requirements.
Okay.
Especially in, under the emergency nature.
Please. Okay.
Yeah.
In any of the determinations of need that we discussed with Mr. Kanata, does any of those documents state other various procurement methods that you explored?
Not in this.
So nowhere in those letters, anyway, does it discuss other methods. Is that correct?
Not to my knowledge, but I know it makes reference that we explored various methods, and it is our determination that the emergency procurement is the most appropriate in this instance.
Now, when you say you explored these various methods, what was done? What was physically done? Like, for example, sole source.
Mm-hmm.
That came up, right, at the committee meeting?
That's correct.
All right, and what was discussed?
We went through whether or not this would fit this particular instance, but we wanted to maximize competition, so we didn't want to just limit ourselves with sole source.
Okay. And did it ever come up that you would issue a RFP?
Yes.
Okay, and what was the problem with an RFP?
Well, it was an RFI under emergency procurement.
Okay. Well, so tell me about the RFI. How did you come to that decision?
Under the emergency nature that the airport needed, we felt this was the best way in which we can solicit potential interested parties to meet the needs.
How about in June of 2022? Did the planning committee get together to discuss various methods of procurement that would satisfy the ongoing emergency?
In June, I'm sorry.
June of 2022.
I don't recall.
Did the planning committee ever meet after the emergency procurement was issued?
There was still the continuing or pending RFP, and so we weren't able to go forward with that. So this is sort of just to ensure that services continue. So we've been continuing on an emergency basis.
And I guess my question is so now if you use the example of June 2022, we're now 8 months down the road in this procurement protest. Does the planning committee get together and say, okay, well, now we're 8 months down the road, we should issue an RFP?
Not unless there are any changes that would prompt that need. As far as we're concerned, we're continuing under the emergency procurement.
So, and that's consistent with Mr. Kanata's testimony that the emergency is the protest.
I'm sorry?
That's consistent with Mr. Kanata's testimony that the emergency is the protest.
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Okay. In October of 2021,
mm-hmm.
What's the emergency?
The emergency is we had an expiring contract. There was a procurement stay on the RFP, and we needed to find a contractor to be able to deliver services. So there are two things.
Okay. And in November of 2021, is there an emergency?
Yes.
What is it?
It's a continuing need for the services that poses a threat to the community.
In June of 2022, is there an emergency?
I believe so.
What is it?
The same.
I guess my point is your committee never got back together to ever discuss if there were other various methods of procurement that would qualify under the procurement law. Is that correct?
I would say that unless there's something that signals that anything has changed that is different, that would prompt the committee to get back or prompt the team to come back and revisit.
Okay. Are you familiar with a company called Constellation Services?
I've heard about them.
Do you know how many parties responded to the emergency procurement?
I believe there were two.
Do you know who, other than Menzies, responded?
I believe it's that firm, Constellations, that you made reference to.
Okay. And why were they not selected?
If I recall correctly in the record, it will reveal that the company did not meet the qualifications, or it did not meet the scope.
Okay. Do you know how they didn't meet the scope?
I
need to object just as to the basis that are on appeal and standing to raise Constellation's ability to, I mean, if Constellation wanted to protest, they could have. I don't know why GMI would be raising it.
I guess, how would
I allow it?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Repeat the question.
Okay, do you know how Constellation didn't qualify their scope?
I don't know for certain.
Do you know how Constellation received the emergency procurement?
No, I don't.
Do you know if they were called to determine whether they would like to be involved in the bid?
Not to my knowledge, no.
For this emergency procurement, who would be the person that I could talk to in the procurement, I guess, division, who would know those answers?
It would be Henry, our supply management administrator, but he's no longer there.
Okay. So, is he on island?
I believe so.
What's his last name?
Cruz.
And what about Janelle?
Janelle is in that office also, but I don't believe, I'm not sure whether or not she had directly made contact, because everything would be through Henry. If he was the single point of contact.
Do you know if JMI was contacted about the emergency procurement?
I am not aware.
Do you know why they wouldn't be contacted?
Well, I'm not so sure, but there is, under the emergency procurement, there was a need for a company to have the ability to be able to take on these services. And based on the scope, they would have to have some experience with baggage handling systems, and they will need to have been able to secure access through the sterile areas of the baggage claim area, and that warrants having a site of edge to be able to access those points.
Did you know that JMI installed the baggage conveyor system in the airport?
I'm aware that they were a subcontractor under the prime.
And then your second point was, they couldn't get these air badges. Is that correct? Did I understand your testimony correctly?
It would have to be a company that would have the ability to be able to access by the November 1 start date.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I think it says, or I think the record reflects that the air badges takes about 2 weeks to get them. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Sometimes longer.
Sometimes longer.
Yeah.
But could the air badges be obtained within a month?
It just depends on how quickly. It's a 10-year background check. It involves both the background and a security threat assessment.
Okay. In the determination of need, it says 2 weeks. Why would you use 2 weeks?
2 weeks because that is the quickest way that we could try to accelerate getting badges for personnel.
What's the longest to get the air badges in your experience?
Under the prior vendor, it took sometimes up to 3-4 months. Okay. Yeah.
So then, if the emergency procurement was issued in October 2021, say 6 months from that time would be April 2022, could a company have obtained air badges by April of 2022?
it's possible if they go through the background check.
But no RFP was ever issued. Is that correct?
We were on a procurement stay. We could not issue an RFP while there was ongoing, while the case was ongoing.
And no other various method of procurement could be obtained to, I guess, qualify the procurement code emergency provisions. Is that correct?
As far as I know, and based on discussions, this emergency procurement was the most appropriate.
So, again, the emergency is the protest.
The emergency is the protest.
Is that correct?
What do you mean?
The emergency that is determined by the airport is the protest. The protest is the cause of the emergency. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And your committee couldn't foresee any other procurement method in order to comply with the procurement code other than the emergency continuation of the emergency procurement. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Well, let me ask you this question. Why can't an RFP be issued for emergency services?
Well, the RFP, as I mentioned earlier, that is what's under protest, and that's within the Superior Court, which triggered a stay.
No, but I'm saying under emergency procurement. So now you've made the determination of emergency, right? Is it not possible, in your opinion, to say, okay, we have an emergency, we issue an emergency procurement for 4 months to cover the air badges, and then we're going to issue, the emergency continues, right, because the protest is still going on, we issue an RFP for temporary services for 1 year. That impossible to do?
My understanding is if it's under the emergency procurement, it's every 30 days that you would award. Because if there's any changes in the case before the Superior Court, we can sever or terminate that contract under emergency procurement and proceed with whatever decision the court has issued.
And an RFP under an emergency procurement with the same cancellation provision is impossible? Or possible?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
So you say it has to be every 30 days. I'm not arguing with you. But if there was another method of procurement, which would be procuring services through an RFP, that could also be canceled because it's issued on an emergency basis. I'm just asking you if that is impossible.
Honestly, I'd have to confer with counsel. In that instance, yes.
Did you ever discuss that amongst your planning committee?
I don't recall that there was an actual discussion on that.
When was the first time you became aware of the Attorney General's letter to the CLD? Do you recall?
I recall reading or hearing about it in the news.
Okay. Do you remember when that was?
I don't recall.
Okay. Did you ever see the letter?
I did.
Okay. When do you think that might be?
I believe it might have been attached to your correspondence. I don't recall.
Okay.
But I believe it might have been at a time in which you...
Do you remember seeing... I'm sorry. Do you remember seeing my letter to Mr. Canaffa?
I did.
And do you recall his response?
Yes.
Okay. In front of you is the airport's exhibits. It's under Exhibit J. And it's dated it's base stamp number 00. And I guess if you're there, I'll just ask if you've ever seen this letter before.
Yes.
Okay. And I know that those are not your initials on 00791, that those are Mr. Hernandez's, but did you prepare this letter?
No, I did not.
Do you know who did?
I believe we worked with counsel on this.
When you say we, does that mean you?
The agency.
The agency. Do you know who at the agency worked on it?
I don't recall.
But you didn't work on this.
You know, there's a lot of issues that come through my desk. I don't recall this particular instance, but I was involved in some level of discussion on it.
And do you recall those discussions?
Vaguely.
Okay. And who were they with?
It would have been with the deputy or the EM with counsel.
Does that letter help refresh your recollection on when you might have first seen the Attorney General's letter?
Not really. I don't recall.
Do you doubt that it was sometime in March 21st, 2023, or thereabouts?
I don't recall.
And in the airport's exhibit G, I'll ask, and it starts at 00606, excuse me. Have you ever seen those series of letters?
00606 on
yes.
Extensions? Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
And I think in the bottom left-hand corner, on the CC, under the CC line, that's your initials?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Did you draft this letter?
No.
Okay, do you know who did?
It would have been the procurement office.
Okay, and you reviewed it, and that little sign-off is your approval?
That's correct.
And that indicates to Mr. Cannata that it's, in your opinion, only. That it's good to go.
That's correct.
Then if you look at 00622, have you ever seen that letter?
I believe so.
Okay. And then on the right under the executive manager's signature block, there is a signature. Is that your signature?
No.
Okay, do you recognize whose it is?
It looks like the deputy's.
Is that Mr. Hernandez?
It, that's what it appears. It's a little bit different from what is typical, but it...
Okay. You know who drafted this letter?
Again, this would have been drafted by the procurement office.
When you saw the letter from the Attorney General saying that Menzies was required to have a license, what did you do with respect to that?
Well, we had a discussion with the managers about the decision.
And do you recall which managers you discussed it with?
Usually it would be with both.
Okay, both operations and...
My manager is the deputy and the executive manager.
Do you recall what those conversations were?
Just that we received the letter and that we would discuss it with counsel.
And after you discussed it with counsel, did you do anything?
I'll object and extend that call for privilege information right back.
I'm just asking if she did anything.
You can answer, but you can't. Don't talk about your conversation.
Can you repeat the question?
Sure. After you were finished with your conversation with counsel, mm-hmm. Did the airport do anything?
Nothing different, no.
Okay. Do you recall being involved in conversations in March of 2023 about Menzies getting a contractor's license?
I do recall there were discussions. I'm not sure about the particular month. But through our counsel, we learned that there was a license that was obtained.
A license was obtained. Mm-hmm. Do you recall?
I don't recall when.
You don't recall when. Okay. I have no further questions. Thank you.
Thanks.
Mr. Brennan?
Thank you, Security Officer. Ms. Ariola, so I'll... same as you heard with the M, I'm going to try not to get into the documents and unless you need them. I just want to go over some of the questioning from Jay and my counsel. So the first question I'll ask is, how long have you been the airport services manager?
In this capacity for approximately 20 years.
And in all of those 20 years, has procurement been direct reporting to you through the supply management administrator?
That's correct, yes.
And, for example, you're aware of the 2015 issuance of the RFP for Baggage Conveyance Systems Management Infrastructure Support Services?
That's correct.
And so when the July 2021 RFP went out, that was similar to how the airport had conducted the previous RFP?
It was similar, yes.
Okay. And you recall that, I think the opposing counsel said that the emergency was this day. You recall that testimony?
Yes.
Okay. I want to go to that time period, if I can, September, October of 2021. When the stay was issued, you heard testimony from the executive manager that people under him were giving options to him or considering the options available to him before making a recommendation. Would you have been involved in that process?
Yes.
And would that team you identified, Ken McDonald, Juan Regis, Janelle Menno, and Henry Cruz, also have been involved?
That's correct.
And would that have been the time period between when the protest was filed on September 21st all the way through the emergency determination on October 27, 2021? Would there have been discussions amongst procurement staff, amongst that team about the airport's options?
Yes.
Okay, and to be clear, in your 20 years supervising procurement at the airport, have your personal notes ever been required to be part of the procurement record?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay. Does the airport normally execute determinations of need, for example?
We have, yes.
And does that document, as far as you understand it, and other front-end determinations of procurement, does that encapsulate the sort of planning that goes into the procurement insofar as you are involved?
That's correct.
So anything that would be included in your notes that is material to the procurement would have been included in that determination?
That's correct. Yes.
And is that what you meant when you said that the determination here met that requirement?
That's correct.
Okay, so similarly, when the determination here says that other methods of source selection have been considered by the airport or were to that effect, is that what you're referring to when you said we did include that?
Yes.
So would you disagree with counsel's statement, at least as was presented to you, that it was not anywhere in the record that the airport had looked at other methods of source selection?
That's correct.
In fact, do you recall, if I were to mention the methods of source selection, what the airport was considering as to each one?
Yes.
If I go through them, why didn't the airport consider a small purchase procurement or blanket purchase order?
Well, there's a certain threshold, and we established that the cost of these services would exceed that.
Are you aware of the threshold for small purchase
yes.
for services?
It's $25,000.
At the time, prior to the emergency procurement, what was the airport paying Menzies under the old contract?
It was about $70,000 to $100,000.
Okay, and by securing the emergency procurement, was the airport able to achieve a lower price during the pandemic due to the reduced employment?
Yes, we did. Yes.
And I'll just keep going. You mentioned with the RFP, because of the procurement state, the airport didn't consider an RFP a realistic option.
That's
Can I ask
correct.
You to expand on that?
Well, we are on a procurement stay, so we aren't able to use that method and pending a determination.
Well, let me just ask you, for example, if the airport has the airport ever made it a practice, if you received a protest on, say, an IFB, to just reissue another IFB?
No, we have not.
And is it because you, in this particular case, has the airport said, JMI, you're wrong, we don't need a license? Are you aware of that representation ever being made?
No.
isn't it true that the airport's position has been let the CLB decide and then the airport will act appropriately?
Yeah, that's correct.
And doesn't the emergency procurement on 30 days at a time, when you talked about flexibility, is that what you were referring to? It gave the airport the flexibility to respond to whatever determination was made at the Superior Court?
That's correct.
Okay, let me just ask, as an example, Mr. Rosano is talking about the March 2023 procurement. Mm-hmm. The March 2023 letter from the OED. Isn't it true that the airport, if you're aware, subsequently learned about actual action taken by the CLB latter part of March 2023?
I do recall.
Do you recall what that action was?
They decided that they needed an actual license.
That was the finding of the CLB at some part of their process?
Correct.
The airport is not a party to the case of the CLB.
No, we're not. Yeah.
How did the airport learn about the CLB making these findings or decisions?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Sure. How did the airport learn that the CLB had made these findings or decisions that you just...
That was through the media reports.
Okay, and in your capacity as procurement, sort of without a supply management administrator, you're the day-to-day overseer of procurement, correct? Mm-hmm. Isn't it true that the airport took steps to engage Menzies about the CLB decision?
We did through council.
Okay, let's talk about that real quick. So, is it the policy, or isn't it true that it's the policy of the airport that when there is active litigation, to the extent there is interaction with the party, that interaction is done through council?
That's a process we undertook, yes.
Okay, and was that the process that was being used because of active litigation in this case? So, essentially, procurement wasn't reaching out directly to Menzies for any reason?
That's correct.
With the exception of these lettered notices of extension, did those go through council, or?
Yes.
Okay. So, what happened when the airport reached out to council? Reached out to Menzies, I call it.
I'm sorry, with what period?
Sure. So after you learned of this decision or action by the CLB, mm-hmm. do you recall what happened in terms of the airport reaching out to Menzies to address the CLB issue?
Yeah, so through council, they've contacted Menzies attorneys to determine what action Menzies will actually take as a result of the decision. And during that process, Menzies had represented that they would find a contractor to be able to perform the services as required.
In your experience and based on your understanding of the procurement law, is bringing on a subcontractor to address work under a contract allowable?
Yes, it is. With the airport's concurrence, though.
Yeah. And is that what was required in the contract interpretation in this procurement?
Yes.
And is that what the airport enforced related to this?
That's correct.
And has the airport done this related to other contracts when subcontractors are brought on by primes requiring the airport concurrence? Is this actually something that happens pretty regularly?
Yes.
So there was nothing different necessarily about how a subcontractor was brought on for this procurement?
None, no.
In fact, you could find that information in the record, the correspondence between counsel for Menzies and counsel to the airport?
That's correct.
Okay. As far as you know, was the airport ever served anything formally by the contractor's license board?
Not to my knowledge.
To this day?
That's correct.
How about by the Office of the Attorney General related to its letter to the contractor's license board?
No, we did not receive it directly.
So you were shown an opinion from the OEG, but if you know, and actually it's in the record, that was received from JMI's counsel, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Did the airport ever receive anything else from JMI's counsel, if you know, related to the CLB?
No. I don't recall.
Understood. If we could just touch base on the sole source questions Mr. Rosano was asking. Why wasn't a sole source an appropriate method of source selection?
Well, it was one option, obviously, if there's there's only one provider for the services, but the airport wanted to open it up for competition to see whether or not there was any potential party we may not have checked off, whether or not they'd be available.
And it's obvious, but I mean, in this case, isn't it true the airport's aware there is another provider and sole source is therefore not allowed under Guam Law?
Correct.
And that's because of the provider that that protested on the underlying RFP, which is JMI.
That's correct.
Again, I don't want to gloss over it, but why wasn't an IFB used?
An IFB is the RFP was selected because we were looking for the most qualified. The IFB, the ultimate decision, is going to be based on the lowest bid.
Yeah, and so actually
without looking for the most qualified.
And in the RFP context, price is actually not relevant when you're determining who to enter negotiations with. Isn't that correct?
It would be qualifications and then price.
And qualifications are important here because it's not just a widget. They're not selling you toilet paper.
That's correct.
There's one other point. When you talked about the flexibility of the emergency procurement, does the emergency procurement and the contract here give the airport any other flexibility that can't be handled by other methods of source selection? For example, does the term non-recurring costs, is that
relevant? So this particular contract requires, obviously, someone to operate and manage a system, provide the employees, being able to perform repair work, being able to procure parts and services that are needed in order to keep the system running. And that would be the non-recurring. The PM services is, or staffing, are the fixed costs.
So the staffing, sorry, so when you say fixed costs, that was that Exhibit B to the contract, the executive manager was shown earlier, with the 78,000 figure and the 108,000 figure.
That's correct.
But the airport is able to capture non-recurring costs using the contract it entered in the emergency procurement.
That's correct.
What would that cover? Like a non-fixed cost under the contract?
That would cover any repairs that are needed. Any parts, equipment that need to be replaced.
And the airport, for example, wouldn't be able to do that in a small purchase setting?
No, we would not. Or that would exceed the small purchase.
Or in an IFB setting.
That's correct.
Mr. Rosano was also questioning about, earlier to the EM, about that change in price, 78 and 109.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall differently how the contract's been administered?
Yeah, for the emergency procurement contract?
Correct.
At the time that we had executed this, obviously it was COVID period, so we scaled back operations and reduced costs across the board, not just this particular contract. So it gave us the ability to continue the reduction in services, and when operations obviously improve and traffic increases, that they would be able to man up or provide additional manpower. So we actually eventually implemented the higher amounts sometime in 2022, I believe.
Okay, so there was an error, I guess, is what I would say in the executive manager's recollection, that you're correct.
Yeah, that's correct.
So sometime last year, the higher price under that exhibit that was shown earlier, Exhibit B to the contract, has actually been the price being charged for
months. Yeah, I mean, the nature of the contract allows the airport to reduce services, therefore reduce costs, and then when things obviously increase, then we're able to authorize additional manning and services. So to answer your question, yes.
Now, GMI's counsel did question you a little bit about whether circumstances have changed and whether that today you could do a new procurement. Has the airport considered, or you in your position, have you considered whether you can move forward, for example, with the RFP at any point, or a new RFP?
Have we considered?
Yes.
Not unless there are any changes to the ongoing case before the Superior Court.
And
I see that as a viable option.
And is it because that case will also answer the question about how you qualify the offeror who's to provide these services to the airport?
That's correct.
So in essence, if you did an RFP, this question would still be answered, and there, you know, one could speculate there could be another protest.
That's potentially what could occur.
Now I'm going to get into a little bit of what the hearing officer was asking the executive manager about. Are you familiar with the contingency letters prepared as part of an audit of the agency?
Yes.
And as far as you're aware, are active litigation matters where the airport is a party included in that letter?
They are.
Is that within your purview as ESM, or is that more within the comptroller's purview?
We work together on that, on contingent liabilities.
And currently there is no, or the comptroller position is unoccupied.
That's correct.
And that is an unclassified position appointed by the board.
It is.
Thank you, Mr. Hearing Officer. I have no further questions for the witnesses.
Mr. Jones.
I have no questions for the witnesses.
Mary DeRue.
I have any further.
Okay. I have a few. Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, I didn't.
Is
it afternoon already?
Not yet.
Close.
It's almost. Just about.
Okay. The way I understand it, you're basically like the next in. So what's the actual for the running of the airport? Are you the person who's going to be like on the ground day to day, sort of running the airport?
That'd be operations.
That'd be operations. Yes. The operations reports to you.
No, that would be the air terminal manager.
Reports into the EM.
Correct. He runs operations.
You've been there for 20 years. You've been through several EMs and boards and all of that. So you're pretty familiar with the airport by now, I would say.
Right? I hope so, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Is there a part of the airport that, you know, you just don't know yet, you don't understand, you didn't really go there or anything like that?
Sure, it's a learning experience every day, so I don't know everything, but okay. Obviously.
Pretty familiar with the baggage handling stuff?
To a certain extent, yes.
Okay. Are there performance metrics for baggage handling?
I do know that we try to achieve 80% on every given day.
Is that airport or is that industry?
I'm not sure.
You said, I just want to get a couple of the low-hanging fruit out of the way, and then we're going to get some other stuff. You said that, unless I heard it wrong, that JMI, for some reason, they didn't have sufficient scope in their response to the RFP?
No, that wasn't my response, sorry.
You said something about scope. And responsiveness, or I think the word was, I forget exactly the word, but it seemed that your answer was saying that there was something in the scope of services that they were providing that they did not meet under the RFP.
I think maybe I was referring to the second proposal under emergency procurement.
Okay.
Constellations. Yeah.
So the emergency procurement was bigger in scope than the 2021 RFP?
The emergency procurement scope, as I recall it, the evaluators go through whether or not the offer meets the qualifications, and it is my understanding that that particular firm or offerer did not meet the minimum requirements.
And that being JMI, didn't meet the...
No, it wasn't JMI. JMI did not participate in the American...
Oh, I see. You're talking about Constellation.
Constellation.
Okay. So, I think we had a fairly simple question, but I'm not sure we got an answer. You know, usually the practices that I've seen in the agencies when there's this emergency or some procurement and you want to make sure you have enough responsive bids to the solicitation... Who controls that process? Would that be you, or who makes sure that, hey, we only got one or two, let's at least try to find somebody else? Who does that? Who makes that determination?
Usually the procurement office. It would be a supply management administrator.
Okay. And the supply management administrator is not the same thing as the end user here, right?
The end user is different. It would be the division.
Who was before Menzies? Who was the vendor?
It's been Menzies for a while.
For a while?
Yeah.
As long as you can remember?
Yes, there was another company. I forget the name. That did it and performed it in the earlier days. There might have been a couple. I don't remember.
Now, Menzies is a global corporation?
Yes.
So the company here is part of that global. It's not a franchisee or anything like that. It's an actual airport baggage handling global. They got all of the, they have the knowledge and the skill of that kind of thing.
I believe so. They perform this work in across the country and other parts of the world.
Okay. Now, when was the first that it came to the attention of the airport, if you know it, or to yourself, that there would be an issue with the contractor's license?
I think we first learned about that from JMI.
As part of their protest, or?
That's correct.
Okay, so in the solicitations or anything, was there any correspondence with JMI or anyone else saying, hey, does this need a contractor's license?
Not that I can recall.
So once JMI brought it up, how did, seems simple enough, hey, kind of looks like we need this, or, I mean, how did that decision that we don't need or we do need this license after it came up in a protest, how did that issue get resolved?
Well, we were just awaiting for it to go through the OPA and a decision from CLB as to whether or not, in this particular service contract, whether or not a contractor's license was needed.
So you guys didn't go back and say, you know, we might need to rethink this. We want to make sure we're right. After all, it's a licensing regime, and, you know, we just want to make sure that licensing is correct and this kind of thing. Never revisited that question after it went into litigation?
It's not that we never revisited it. We are awaiting a decision from the license board that has oversight for this.
I mean, it's not like you don't have a dog in this fight, right? You got a dog in this fight. It's like it's holding up the procurement on whether or not there's an answer on the C-13 license. So we were just really just going to let it be decided in the court, or are you going to take a different position? It seems to me like, hey, if this is an issue, maybe it's just simpler to kind of just go along and get this license.
I think it wasn't clear, and I think that's why we were awaiting clarification on whether or not that particular, I think it was a C-13 license, noticed by JMI, whether or not that was truly the case.
Was that license required in prior RFP services?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, this is the only baggage handling system. We are not aware that there was a specific license requirement.
So when they came in and did the work that required the license, nobody really checked, or I guess at that point it just didn't occur to anyone that a license would be needed?
No, I think based on the scope that we actually developed, it did require resources, personnel, that had certification to operate, had experience to operate, had the equipment necessary to perform the work. So that was our scope.
Okay.
Yeah. We were not aware of the specific license that JMI had raised.
How long is the procurement for? How many fiscal periods is this, the original 2021 RFP for?
If I recall correctly, I believe it might have been for a five-year term.
Now, just to the extent that you understand these questions, that's fine, and if not, that's fine. So did I hear correctly that you're stepping in for the controller, or you're serving as some of the controller's duties right now?
No.
No?
I'm not the controller.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's open?
It's vacant.
It's vacant. How long has it been vacant?
For about a year or so.
A year. Yeah. Okay.
But we do have an acting controller.
Oh, I see.
Who's the next
classified? Okay.
Such time.
Because the management is unclassified, I guess.
The controller position is an unclassified position.
Okay. Now, I heard
you also respond that you're familiar with the legal contingency process?
That's correct.
Okay. So can you tell me when is it reportable as an event in legal contingency? When is it reportable?
Well, the process is the auditors, the independent auditors, would engage airport counsel, in this case the engineer couple, to provide that legal letter that basically explains is there any event or litigation that may expose the airport authority that needs to have some financial record for that particular audit year. And so those letters do come in and are requested on an annual basis. And it will identify whether or not there's any contingent liability. Yeah.
Do you know how contingent liability is actually derived?
Could you clarify?
Okay. So in order for it to be reportable, it's got to have a couple of criteria. Mm-hmm. Okay. One of the criteria is actually whether or not the event is foreseeable and probable, right? In other words, likelihood of it materializing. And then the other test is whether it's material enough to make it into the financial statements.
That's correct.
Okay. So the root of that analysis is this thing about whether the event is probable. Mm-hmm. Okay? So we already understand then that when an event is probable, you have to begin sort of either making a provision, tracking it, putting it in footnotes. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. So the event here that this thing will continue is also probable. Don't you agree?
It's possible.
And by that, of course, I mean this litigation.
That's
right. I think that's all I have. If anybody has any follow-ups based off of my questions.
Yeah, so, Ms. Ariel, I'll just ask you, isn't it true that the underlying RFP that's before the Superior Court is an appeal by JMI?
That's correct.
And that's an appeal of a decision in favor of the airport amenities.
That's correct. We're done?
Yes.
No, okay. Mr. Rosado, go ahead.
Thank you. The OPA action, the other OPA action that your counsel just asked you about, did that case have a hearing on the merits, to your knowledge?
The RFP protest?
Yes, ma'am.
It went through the OPA hearing.
Do you understand what a hearing on the merits is, like we're having today? Like where testimony is taken and witnesses show up in a hearing like that in that case?
I don't recall.
Okay. Were you asked to testify in that matter?
No, I was not.
No. Do you know why JMI did not participate in the emergency procurement?
I'm not aware.
Do you know who the procurement officer is for this emergency procurement? The contracting officer?
That's the executive manager.
Okay. And when you testified earlier that the contract was for 5 years, the original RFP, if I was to tell you that I believe the record reflects it was 3 years plus one plus one, does that refresh your recollection?
It's possible. I mean, it could be both. Or either, I'm sorry.
I just want to make sure it's clear for the hearing.
Okay, thank you.
I have no further questions.
No questions.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold.
Thank you.
All right, so I guess we'll break for lunch and then be back. What time is it? Can we be back by 1:45?
Yeah. Just before we leave, you said you wanted to appeal the correct?
Maybe we can discuss that.
I think Ms. Barr is also.
Do you want that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, so that's going
to
go.
We'll call them and tell them to come.
Okay.
We'll take care of that.
All right,
okay, sure.
We're off the record at 12:12 p.m. We'll be back at 1:45.
I'm just going to stay here and work. Okay.